Well, thanks for joining us on this episode of the Growing Leaders Podcast. Today, we've got Dr. Tim Elmore in the studio with us. And calling in, we've got a close friend of Growing Leaders, Zach Thomas. He is an owner-operator of a Chick-fil-A restaurant here in Atlanta, Georgia. And we're so excited to have him today to share his thoughts on leading the next generation. So, Tim, why don't you introduce Zach to us?
Zach, I'm thrilled that you carved out some time to be with us. And this may be an ongoing thing that we do more than once, but you and I were talking recently, and I said, we've got to get this into a podcast because we're really talking about a new way of leading that you and I think both in our own words were saying, we find this so appealing, so attractive to really any generation, but particularly the emerging generation. So before we jump into that, I want you to share your journey for our listeners, because all these things you've thought of haven't come out of a vacuum where you're just theorizing over leadership. You've led a number of organizations during your career. Would you share with our listeners a little bit about your leadership journey?
Sure. Well, thanks, Tim, for having me on today, and I'm grateful for this opportunity. And I'll say that I'm very fortunate and very blessed to have had a broad spectrum of leadership opportunities throughout my life. Essentially started my leadership journey as a cadet at the United States Military Academy in West Point, and I studied military art and science. And as you know, the primary functions of command and control style leadership in the military are very necessary at times, and so I'm somewhat involved since then. However, I was exposed to quite a few different leaders in my military experience that taught me how to motivate and inspire others in a different way. And I knew from the very beginning at my tenure at Military Academy that I wanted to be an infantry officer. And I'd say, obviously, I'm very biased, but I'd say that more than any other job in the military, an infantry officer, whether it be in the Army or the Marines, has to lead people more than anyone else. And many other branches of service have a huge technical focus on equipment and systems like planes and boats and those sorts of things. However, you know, in the infantry, we have a few handheld weapon systems and essentially the soldiers that hold them. And so I was taught to lead by example. And this is a foundation, I think, of what I believe has led me to be the kind of leader that I am today. And I think one of the things that I think back, I was never afraid to get my hands dirty. And as we used to say in the military, get in the trenches with my soldiers. I always, my soldiers always ate first. And if there's nothing left, well, then I guess I went hungry. I distinctly remember walking into my first unit, and I was assigned to be the platoon leader of 1st Platoon Alpha Company, 1st and 327th Infantry Regiment, 101st Airborne Division at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. And I think nothing consumed my thoughts more than what I was going to say to my platoon sergeant, Sergeant First Class Anderson. He's a non-commissioned officer with 15 years of leadership experience leading troops, and nothing consumed my thoughts more than what I was going to say on my first day. And so, you know, I could have walked in there and said, you know, hi, I'm Second Lieutenant Thomas, and based on all the books I've read and my military art and science degree from West Point and Ranger School, I'm in charge now, and you can call me sir. Thank you very much. And fortunately, I did not go there. I didn't say things that way. I basically walked in there and said, I'm Second Lieutenant Thomas, and I have absolutely no experience doing what you've been doing for 15 years. I look forward to learning from you, and I hope that we can work together to build the best platoon in the battalion. Mm. And at 6'4" and approximately 300 pounds of solid muscle, Sergeant First Class Anderson stared at this 5'9", 170-pound, 22-year-old second lieutenant right in the eyes and said, sir, I'm going to make you the best lieutenant in the battalion.
Wow.
And that statement proved to be true. I was selected to be the reconnaissance platoon leader for the battalion, and that was probably my favorite job in the Army. As a recon platoon leader, all of my NCOs and soldiers were hand-selected. Most were Ranger and Airborne qualified, like myself. And, you know, I just had a great experience in my military journey there. I finished my military career as an instructor at the Ranger School and the operations officer for the Reconnaissance Advanced Leader Force. And still then, I wanted to continue to serve my country as a chaplain. I entered into the chaplain candidate program. And as a chaplain candidate, I was not able to stay on active duty while attending seminary. And I went on staff as a college and singles pastor at a local church where I continued to attend seminary. However, I guess it was about 2005. I began to explore my entrepreneurial desires and started a coffee company, started the Ranger Coffee Company. And while on active duty, I had an idea that I wanted to create a hyper-caffeinated coffee to get more caffeine in one cup of coffee. And that burst into an online store. Our coffee product, we sold it all over the world. The company experienced pretty amazing growth after we ended up in an article in Newsweek magazine and on Good Morning America. And my wife and I, at that point, decided to move back home closer to our family in North Georgia. And ended up taking a role as the operations officer of Life Impact Ministries with Andy Christensen. And at that same time, attending seminary and running my coffee company, I think in Life Impact, I was introduced to coaching as a way of leading. And I went through Coach U and their certification program. I'm very grateful, I'd say, for my time with Andy. I really don't have a lot of time to go into details about my time with him, but I'd say that as my personal coach, Andy really helped me become a better husband and a better father and a better business owner. And so I decided to pursue being an entrepreneur instead of the chaplaincy. And I left the chaplain candidate program to pursue being a Chick-fil-A owner-operator. So over the last 7 years, I've spent putting my leadership philosophies to the test to over about 65 to 70 team members that work with me.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, that is a variety, like I said. So the fun thing is you've tried this leadership thing out in a number of contexts and just love the conclusions you've drawn. So that leads me to the next question. Recently, you and I discussed, as I mentioned before, a new approach to leading, one that's not only more empowering to teams, but very attractive to the emerging generation. Take a couple minutes and just describe this new approach to leadership and kind of how you came to this conclusion.
Sure. Well, you know, Tim, in 2011, I was walking across the street, a four-lane highway close to my store, and I was hit by a car. And as a pedestrian, and by the grace of God, I had very little physical damage, but I did have a major
concussion. But you should see the car, right?
Yes, you should see the car.
I'm sorry.
Pulled the windshield completely out of the car. No, it's fine. I can laugh about it now. It's one of those things. I had a major concussion, and for a few days, I couldn't even remember. I couldn't remember anything. I didn't even know I was a Chick-fil-A operator, and I spent about a month at home sitting on the couch with my wife babysitting me, and I'm not one to sit around and do nothing. So I started thinking, and not really sure what the future was holding for me. But I knew it was a miracle that I was actually survived the accident, that I was alive. So started thinking really long and hard about how I wanted to live the rest of my life and how I wanted to lead my family and my business, and began to put some things on paper. And so, you know, just, I think it really kind of boils down to how this all came about. It's two fundamental principles that helped me get to where I am. And I'm beginning to call this, I don't even know if this is a great term for it, but just kind of calling it freedom leading. And I think one is just, I think I'd be disillusioned to think that my team members will work for me for the rest of their lives. So I think one, it's in both my best interest and in their best interest to have as my primary goal to help them accomplish their own dreams and help them become the best version of themselves. And then secondly, a team member or an employee motivated by fear, force, guilt, or any other form of manipulation is not the same as a team member motivated by love or knowing that someone cares about them.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where, you know, that all started. I don't know, as far as, you know, just as we think about my experience and my leadership spectrum, all the way from a command and control style leader, you know, as a ranger in the Army, to more of a servant leader type in the church. And I think that I went through this pendulum effect, you know, where all the way on the left side, I was, you know, this hard charging command and control style leader, where I'm pretty sure there's a few folks out there that
yes,
probably don't like me very much from some of the things that I made them do during Ranger school, to you know, those folks that as a college and singles pastor and as a servant leader, I was trying to be a graceful and, yeah, and extremely humbled leader. So. Yeah.
Well, and one of the things I love about this is you have experienced both extremes, it sounds like. And you even referred earlier, you've seen different kinds of leaders in your journey too. So for our listeners' sake, I'm going to try to distill some of what you just shared and make sure we're all hearing this accurately. When you and I were talking, I mentioned to you that it seems to me like we've even seen a continuum over the last 50 or 60 years where, you know, 50, 60 years ago, Zach, it was very acceptable to be a command and control type of leader. That's what we saw in business and hospitals and the church and schools. It was one guy, and usually it was a guy, not a gal, you know, at the top, and everybody else is kind of down the flow chart, and it was acceptable. But as time has marched on, and as education levels have been higher, and people don't want to be barked at or yelled at or just told what to do, but they want to be a part of the leadership team, we've had to move to different styles. And I think it's a good thing. I think culture has pushed us in a good direction. So you're saying over time, you have kind of moved from that command and control thought process to, you call it freedom leader. It's trust and it's freedom, and it allows the person to really flourish and grow, but they generally want to stay in the environment, generally speaking, because they are allowed to be free and to grow. Talk about the product of this new kind of freedom leadership and what it tends to produce in a team member.
Sure. I think, you know, as we talked about before, the command and control style and when the primary leadership style is that, and the leadership method is just using discipline, you know, your follower motivation is fear.
Yeah.
And and it's some form of guilt, manipulation that's negative allowing emotion. them to do or accomplish whatever it is that they're doing. And so what you get is you get temporary behavior modification.
Yeah.
And as we, you know, as I transition, you know, I want all of my team members to transition ultimately to, you know, this freedom style of leading where, you know, as I can serve them, and my method of leadership is through my trust increasing in them and their maturity actually growing, that they will receive more freedom. And in that, you know, they understand that, you know, I love them and I care about them, and that will lead to permanent life transformation. I mean, I feel like they leave Chick-fil-A and Mackinac Crossing better than they came there. And I think that ultimately, you know, that's what I feel like my calling is to do, is just to help them become, you know, a better version of themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. They feel better about themselves, and they are better people for having been under your charge.
Absolutely.
So I want you real quick, this is kind of a rat-a-tat sort of answer I'm looking for, but give me some words that describe the person who's under this freedom leader, this new kind of leader. How are they feeling? What are they thinking? What are they doing that maybe is different than this? I've just been manipulated into doing this thing this leader wants me to do.
Yeah, I think that there's a transition that happens at some point, you know, where they realize that, hey, this is not just a job. This is something more than that. This person has my best interest at heart. This person cares about me. Mm-hmm. This organization cares about me. This is helping me become a better person. I'm part of something bigger than myself. You know, all of those things, I think, are part of their physical journey or emotional journey through this process.
I think that I have been, I'll just use the word guilty, of practicing less than healthy leadership as well. When I think about this continuum I brought up earlier, you've kind of brought up two different, you know, styles, but it seems like to me, and I've even shared this in past recordings, we've gone from this military commander style that was about control and, you know, that sort of thing. And they demanded loyalty, by the way, from those people that are under their care, to a CEO model where it's more about really about vision for the organization. And even if you don't like me as your leader, at least I hope we can agree upon the vision and you stay with me because you love the dream we're going after. And then it kind of moved to, I think, an entrepreneur. I think the 1980s was a decade of, incredible new innovation introduced into the marketplace. And so we wanted a leader that, even if he was messy, we were innovating, we were the leading edge of the market, the cutting edge. That term became big in the 80s. And then by the 90s, I really saw, as I watched leaders over that decade, Zach, it was a leader as a coach. You even brought up the word coach, you know, where we're coaching team members, and there's this sense of relationship. But the words I've used, and I want to get your feedback on this, to the freedom/servant leader that you're describing is kind of a double metaphor. I call it the poet gardener. And if you remember when we were talking about this earlier, the poet word I love because, well, in the same way that a poet looks at the culture around them and then writes beautiful poetry, they wordsmith what they're feeling or thinking. I think the poet leader sits down with a team of leaders, not just a team of followers, but there's some leaders, and they're listening as much as talking. They're extrapolating ideas. They're synthesizing ideas. And eventually they wordsmith something that people go, ah, that's exactly what I was thinking. That's exactly what I want to be a part of. But they were the ones who were able to wordsmith it, just like a good poet puts something into words that you love what he wrote or she wrote, but you didn't have the words for it, but they did, you know, that sort of thing.
Right.
And then this gardener thing, I want you to give me feedback on this too. I love the gardener metaphor because I think that in many ways, just like a gardener goes out to the soil and knows that their primary job is to grow the plants in that soil, to fertilize it, to give it water and sunshine, this leader sees her primary job as growing the people under their care. As you mentioned, they're becoming the best version of themselves or a better version of themselves.
Right.
And they stay not because they have to, they want to. This is, you know, they're being poured into and mentored. So in many ways, this is just another set of words, but it's so cool that you've come to this conclusion after all the experience you've had that it really works better. And I would even think, I'm going to go out on a limb here, maybe even in the military it works better, where you're earning the loyalty of those men or women under your care because you care for them, and it's not just an order they're following, it's a person. Give me some feedback on those thoughts.
Sure. I would say that, you know, I have discovered that, you know, it obviously for me is the goal. It is what I'm moving towards with every single new team member that I bring on board. But I would say this, Tim, you can't, and this is where I feel like it comes full circle. And I love your analogy of the gardener, or in my case, you know, I recently moved back to the family farm, and I've really enjoyed, you know, farming and just, you know, doing some things for my own personal growth. And I think I've learned a lot through that, and I've learned a lot about the seasons, and there are certain things that have to be done during certain seasons as a farmer. And so, you know, with that said, you know, I'd say that we take a step back and we look at this entire spectrum of leadership. And I think that we, in some ways, we can't really throw the baby out with the bathwater here. We can't say that, you know, command and control, and I'm not saying that you said this, but, you know, command and control and discipline, they don't have its place, because I think that that's where things start, and that's where we want to transition. Like with every new team member that I hire, they don't know me. They don't know my heart, and it's not possible for them to see that and grasp that in a very short period of time. It takes time. And so they have to start out. They enter into this contract as a team member, as an employee, you know, under the, you know, pre-understanding that they have with previous jobs that, hey, this is going to be, you know, there's certain rules, there's certain regulations, there's certain things that I have to do to be a good employee.
Yeah.
So that's where that discipline structure, it has to be there.
Yeah.
It has to stay in place. And so they're going to initially be motivated by fear. You know, the first couple of weeks they show up to work, they're going to show up to work because they don't want to lose their job.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, but the goal is that over time, you know, as my trust in them increases and their maturity increases, they receive more freedom.
Right.
And the discipline is not really necessary anymore.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a motivation of, hey, this is, I'm showing up to work because I care about the people that I work with, and because the person that I work for or work with cares about me. And it becomes, like you said, more of a of a poet, you know, where I'm a part of a team and I'm contributing and this is this is something that I can really get excited about.
Absolutely. In fact, I would even say, because a lot of our listeners work with students or young people or maybe perhaps young employees, you might find a young team member, they're not ready for a poet gardener. They're not ready for this freedom. You gave them that freedom day one. Watch out. So you do need to migrate toward this, but it does take time. Their readiness and your readiness both have to come into play. I think that's just wisdom. I really do. All right, so I have another question for you. If a listener said, you know, this concept makes sense, I've been thinking this way too, what do I do? What would you say, Zach, are some initial steps that a leader can take to begin to shift to this new style? What are the action steps that probably need to be taken first?
Well, I'm not as good as you, Tim, about actually listing out action steps. So maybe we can work together on this.
Okay.
But I think that it starts with perspective. You know, I think that's where you've got to go back to and ask yourself, you know, what is my perspective? And then what is the perspective of those that are working with me or for me? And so, you know, I was very fortunate enough, depending on how you look at it, to be hit by a car and out of that, you know, be able to spend a lot of time thinking about how I wanted to spend the rest of my life leading people. Others usually don't even really think about those things until they're, you know, it's already too late or they're 90 years old. So, you know, I think that if you really spend some time thinking about perspective, you know, hey, why am I doing what I'm doing?
Yeah.
You know, the systems that I have in place, what kind of follower motivation are they creating? We're on the spectrum of fear. So if you took that fear all the way on the left and love all the way on the right, you know, where do the things that I do, where do they fall? Where do they create that follower motivation, or what level of follower motivation do they create? And then ask yourself, you know, all right, which one of these things are necessary? You know, as we talked about with a gardener, as a farmer, you know, there's seasons in a business. There are seasons where you need to keep certain disciplinary things that ultimately create fear in newer employees or even, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, we do have problem employees and team members. But, you know, you do have to have that there. So then what systems and things that you leave in place, but how do you cast vision that says, hey, we want to move you and everyone else away from this towards love or towards whatever you want to call it, towards freedom. You know, we want to move constantly be to casting vision as an organization or as a leader to move people away from that discipline as their method of leadership and fear as their motivation or guilt or manipulation or whatever it is towards, you know, more trust and more maturity and freedom and love.
And who wouldn't want that? You know, I mean, even if they're not quite ready, that vision has got to be a propeller, a motivator, I would think, to say, okay, I want to get ready for this. I want to earn my right to be led this way. So I love that. I really
do.
And, you know, inherently in what you're saying, Zach, I think, and this is what raced through my mind as I was listening, was I got to step into the shoes of this team member. So if I'm feeling what they're feeling, how do I take that from fear to I'm excited about being here because I know I'm cared for and this is a mutual beneficial thing. So anyway, I love that. So really, I have one more big $64,000 question that I want you to take as long as you want to on it, but it really is for the benefit of our listeners. You, as a former Army Ranger / chaplain / pastor / owner operator of a great restaurant, if you had one word of advice, or maybe two words of advice, for our listeners who formed perhaps maybe some bad leadership habits, maybe unwittingly, they watched some poor leader early on, and now they've just replicated what he or she did. What would that advice be? What can they do to begin to turn the ship around as leaders themselves?
Well, if I could ask that in the form of a question, just maybe a four word question.
Okay.
I think, what is your motivation?
Mm.
I think it starts with you. So why are you motivated to do what you do? Is it fear?
Yeah.
Or is it love?
Yeah.
And then in that, what do you think those that are following you are motivated by? Is it fear or is it love? Mm. And where on that spectrum do the things that you do and the things that others do that work with you fall on that spectrum? And what things are necessary to keep there, and what things do you need to get rid of? So
that's awesome. In fact, Zach, I didn't prepare you for this, but I think you probably have loads of stories. Would you close us with a story of perhaps a relationship, maybe at your restaurant, that you've had where you've seen this kind of great shift in leadership pay some great dividends, perhaps in an attitude or just a more responsive team member? I know I'm putting you on the spot, but I feel like we've talked lots of times, and you just have story after story of after you made this move yourself as a leader, boy, did they move accordingly, and it just paid off well. What would you say? Any stories to close on?
Sure. I think of one that really kind of ties everything together. I had a team member that was part of my college ministry when I was in Columbus, Georgia. And this person was part of the praise band, helped me lead worship. And when I got the role as Chick-fil-A owner-operator, he decided he wanted to come work for me and move up to Atlanta. And so he and his wife, newlyweds, moved up to Atlanta, and I actually hired both of them and worked for me for a couple years. But during that process, he just began to develop a sense of entitlement, a sense of, you know, I'm the golden child. I'm Zach's, you know, buddy that he moved up here from Columbus. And I tried to, you know, we kept the level of discipline in place and it just it didn't seem to work. And I think I was giving my pendulum had swung a little too far to the right in the area of freedom with him. And so I had to swing it back some, and I had to say, you know, I love you. You know, I care about you, but the reality is this is not going to work the way it's working. Hmm. You're causing enemies and you are causing way too many problems. And the bottom line is this is just not going to work. And so I'm going to make the tough decision and tell you that you cannot work here anymore.
Wow.
And I told him, I said, you need to join the army and grow up.
Hmm.
And so that's what he did.
Wow.
He didn't call me. He hated me. Actually, he told me later that he hated me for a while. He went, but he did take my advice. He went and joined the army, and his wife called me up right before he graduated from basic, and she said that he wanted me to come to his graduation.
Hmm.
And so I didn't know what I was getting into, but she said that he had expressed that he really wanted me to be there. So I thought it was good. And I went down there to Fort Benning, and I was there for his graduation. I remember standing after his graduation, we went out to eat, and we were standing in the parking lot of the restaurant, and he looked at me. He said, you know, I hated you for a while, but you did what you needed to do. You held, you know, a standard that you needed to hold, and you helped me grow and mature to a place. But it came down to the fact that I knew you loved me, and I knew that you cared about me. And so I think that's a huge success story. He's doing really well now. He's served several tours in combat, and he's now ETS out of the Army, and he's looking to start his own business. And we've recently called, and I'm hoping to coach him through that and help him. And so I love him to death, and he's like a son to me. But just seeing how that all worked together and just how redemptive that story is through the process of command and control to just love leadership. So
absolutely. And what's cool is you had the right heart, the freedom leader heart, but you still did the tough thing. So I love it when you can combine those two. Zach, this has been fantastic. Thanks for carving out time and being with us. Great, rich thoughts. And I'm sure our listeners are going to glean from it. Thanks for taking the time. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, thanks for listening to this episode of the Growing Leaders Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening in on the conversation that Zach and Tim had. I wanted to let you know about a new resource that we just released called Habitudes for New Professionals. If you're working with students that are entering in the workforce or adults that have been in the workforce for years, this is a great resource to be using during lunch and learns, intern training, onboarding, or just some regular development with the team. We cover issues talking about systems and organizations, the importance of teamwork in organizations, and how to launch that job and turn it into a career. So you can go to our website, growingleaders.com, and order the resource there. And until next time, thanks for joining us on this episode of the Growing Leaders Podcast.